Is this thing on? Word.
This is the Rookie Sports Report, hosted by Matthew Frizzell.
4 runs off the Detroit Tigers, who are the 10th worst in all of baseball.
And Logan Weber.
But this man was swallowed whole by a whale.
Presented by 96.9, 99.9, and AM 1060, ESPN, The Jock.
Everybody love everybody! Come on!
What's going on, peoples? That was such a cringy intro. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Rookie Sports Report podcast. We had a case of the Mondays yesterday, so really didn't have the motivation to do our own podcast. But hey, it's Tuesday. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here on this Tuesday. It's still morning here while we're recording. It's currently 11:27 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone in Springfield, Mo. I appreciate all you that listen. Matthew Rizzo alongside
Logan Weber.
And partner, how was your weekend, my friend?
Oh, it was busy. It really was. So, of course, Friday night, I went, myself and Ned Reynolds, we called the Lebanon at Glendale game. Two undefeated teams in the same conference, in the same district, and it was a phenomenal football game. Final score was 31-28. Lebanon won on a game-winning last play as time expired, 41-yard field goal.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, right, one of those things that it just felt that way the whole game. You know what I mean? So, first play of the game, Glendale goes 81 yards to the barn, opening kickoff, touchdown. And then there was nothing for Glendale the entire first half. It was just empty from there on, you know, for them in the first half. Lebanon, of the 24 minutes of that first half, I would venture to say Lebanon had the time of controlled the time of possession about 20 minutes to 4. I mean, Lebanon was just bunch formation, tailback with his hand in the dirt, quarterback under center, sending guys in motion. It was just pounded up the middle, north-south running
for Lebanon
the entire
football.
Game. Yeah, just 300-400 yards rushing for Lebanon. You know, they consistently ran the football right down Glendale's throats, which is not an easy thing to do. When you take a look at the Glendale linebacking core, I mean, Connor McTaug and Cooper Roy, some of those guys, and the defensive line for Glendale's good too, but it was really impressive the first half. And then the second half, it was a lot more scoring. I think it was 14-7 at halftime, or 12-7 at halftime. No, it was 14-6. It was 14-6 at halftime. Because, of course, Glendale never kicks extra points. They always go for two.
Right.
So it was 14-6 at halftime. And Glendale came out in the second half, and their offense was much better. They scored 2 touchdowns. They eventually took the lead, 21-21 or something. It was tied up at one point. And Lebanon went down and scored, made it 21-all. And then the next kickoff, 91 yards to the barn for Glendale. They scored 28 points. They scored 4 touchdowns. 2 of those were kickoff returns. You know, so, I mean, Lebanon's offense was great. Their defense was great. That third aspect of the game of football, which gets overlooked a lot of times, not great. They missed a field goal in the second quarter, which made the game winner even more impressive. I mean, that kid, it was the same exact direction they were going, right? They were kicking towards the south end zone in the second quarter. Missed the field goal. It was like a 46 or 47 yarder, and he missed it short and he missed it left. But you could tell he had a good leg on him. The kicker did.
Doughty.
Quentin Doughty. And he comes out in the fourth quarter, 2.7 seconds left or something like that. And Glendale had all 3 timeouts. They burned all 3 of them in rapid succession, you know? So this kid, a senior in high school or junior in high school, kicker. Right, a high school kicker has to sit there for 5 minutes and just reflect on this massive field goal that he has to hit. And he buried it. I mean, it looked good. Good snap, good hold, kick on the way, bang, nailed it. And then things got chippy after the game.
Chippy with Glendale? No.
It really? Was, it really, Lebanon was the one who instigated it.
That's true.
It.
Yeah, I, I don't mean to get you off track there, but I did a district championship game, and of course I work for the Willard Tigers. And it wasn't a district championship game. It was a district semifinal game. And yeah, I got chippy throughout. One of the highlights of the broadcast was after they scored two, one of the Lebanon players kind of mouthed off one of the Willard players, and just out of nowhere, you could see a player just straight beelining it to that one guy and having to be held back by four or five of his teammates.
And that's exactly what happened.
And
right?
both of them are just kind of chippy as well, Glendale and Lebanon.
Yeah,
so
they are.
A couple of volatile teams.
Yeah, and it's a rivalry.
Ozark Conference, yeah.
Yeah, it's an Ozark Conference rivalry. It's a district rivalry, right? They've played each other in the Class 5, District 5 state championship each of the last 2 years. And if I were a betting man, I'd put money on them playing against each other once again for a third straight year within that district. Those are two very good football teams, and it was a really good game. But, you know, they go out, they make the field goal, time's expired, ball game's over, and, you know, Lebanon runs out from their sideline about halfway onto the field, width-wise, you know.
Yeah.
And they're, like, standing around midfield, and they're you know, talking trash, they're looking at the sideline, they're flexing, making certain gestures, you know, to the effect of you can
go, you know what, yourself.
Yeah, go to a certain part of the, a person's anatomy sort of thing. And it was chippy from there. And Glendale took exception to that, you know, as anybody would.
Sure.
You know, I was a high school kid once too. You know, and I'm not going to lie to you. I was that guy. Okay. I was the guy that was like, I did research on the other team's players before the game. You know, I was meticulous. I woke up and chose violence when it came to a high school basketball game. You know what I mean? I knew who the team we were playing against. I knew who the point guard was dating. You know, I knew his parents' name, his brothers and sisters' name. I was ruthless when it came to sports. And so, like, from that perspective, I can understand it. But it's one of those things that, like, the games within the game, yeah, okay, within the confines of you're on the field, you're on the court during the play, sort of thing. You know what I mean? The game's over. You just won a huge game. Go celebrate with your team. Don't go out there and you know, do the air humps and all the other stuff, and you're, you know, doing the chop between your legs sort of thing. And it's like, come on,
high school kid.
Yeah, and so some Glendale guys took exception to that, and it didn't really. There was some shoving back and forth going on and that sort of thing.
No punches thrown or anything.
Yeah. No punches thrown in regards to the two teams throwing punches at each other. There was an incident regarding teammates. Kid from one of the teams runs out onto the field and he wants to fight. You know, he's ready to go. He's got the fists up. He's ready to slap box. You know what I mean? And his teammates are trying to hold him back. Well, this kid's in he's straight up seeing red. You know, he's in a fit of rage. He rips his own teammate's helmet off and starts just throwing punches at all of these teammates trying to hold him back. He eventually has to be, one of his bigger teammates walks up, picks him up and throws him onto the turf. And then they just laid on him. And I'm like, you hate to see that. You know, I understand that it's one of those things. And you know, I think that, you know, trash talking and stuff like that should more than be allowed. Now, put stipulations on it. You know, keep certain things out. Like, race has nothing to do with it. You leave that alone.
Sure.
Do not, you know, all these instances we see of, like, you know, people using racial slurs at games and stuff, and people are like, oh, they're just talking.
And Southwest Missouri? No.
No, not necessarily Southwest Missouri. I don't know enough about the area, but I'm just saying, like,
it's more common than, like, you think.
Yeah.
I'll say that straight up.
Yeah, yeah. Like nationally, you know what I mean? There's
sure.
been instances
yeah.
in, like, the...
Especially down south as well. And,
yeah.
and we're in the Springfield area, so we're kind of, like, hindering on that border-ish.
And
yeah.
really, it's worldwide. You remember, I mean, last year, there was... some players in regards to, I'm trying to remember what league it is in soccer.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was like three or four black soccer players that they were on there was a road game and the fans in the stands were shouting racial slurs and saying things.
Yeah,
and,
that's
and,
not
and,
a good
like,
look.
That,
no.
That's not, don't do that.
Sure.
You know, don't shout racial slurs or, you know, racial epithets or whatever. Make fun of somebody's religion or their skin color
yeah.
You know, certain things like that is just, you know,
that's
that those
limits.
Things are off limits, you know, and you can say, oh, well, they were just talking trash. That doesn't excuse you for being, you know, a terrible person. You know, talking trash is one thing, But when you take it to that, you've crossed a line at that point. And anybody who's ever been involved in sports should know what that line is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say things, you know, you talk trash about the way they play the game, or like the way that their hair looks, or, you know, certain like stupid little things like, dude, that mustache is absolutely disgusting. Like,
I feel like that was a direct shot at me.
No, not
I know you're. Got, I know you're just making an example, but you just looked at my like fake no, excuse for a mustache.
You got the beard working. You're good, man. It's a little bit connected there. So the mustache is attached to the beard a little bit.
Yeah. See, that's the thing though, and I know we're getting off track here, but I cannot grow a goatee no matter what I try to do. Like, I'll try to shave like the outer regions of my mouth or whatever, which is how you obviously form a goatee. But I can't get hair there at all. Like, I have a nice like just kind of chin strap, like low beard or whatever. Yeah, you're kind of
that's
pawning
that's
your little chin
mine,
there.
Yeah. I have to shave like daily because my hair is I'm a pretty hairy dude for as small as I am. Like compared to
I love to see you with a beard.
Compared to my brother or my dad, you know, they're not very hairy people. My brother he's blonde, you know, like straight up blonde.
Yeah.
And so like he tried to grow out like a mustache and some stubble on his chin. I was like, dude, it looks like just like the most elaborate peach fuzz I've ever seen in my life. Like shave it, man. It looks awful. So we finally did that, and he cut his hair too. God, his hair was long.
I'd love to see you partake in No Shave November. I just want to see what you look like with a beard.
Yeah, my fiance would never allow that. Of course. She can't stand facial hair. But like for me, it's like it comes in really thick, like under my chin and on my neck. You know, it comes in really thick.
Kind of like where I am.
Yeah, it comes in really thick on my chin and like right under my lip. But then I just get like nothing right here, right along that midway point, right where that you know that little lip is in your chin area, like halfway down. Nothing there. I get nothing on the sides of my lips. But then I get like I get the stash, you know, and that's I would make fun of people if they had like the mustache, the rock. I'm like, dude, you look like you can't be within 500 feet of a school, sort of thing. You know, like you look disgusting. You look homeless. Stop. Cut it out. But you know, when you say certain things about, like, when you go too far and you're talking about, you know, the complexion of somebody's skin or their religion or, you know, who they choose to date, that sort of thing. Like, leave that alone.
Yeah, I know you did your scouting, like you said, and you were just like, all right, this dude is, you know, this religion. I'll stay clear of that. But, man, your girlfriend looks ugly. I got to talk to him about that or something like that.
Whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, if I was playing a kid – and, you know, his girlfriend, you know, used to date one of my buddies, you know, somebody that I went to high school with. It'd be like, yeah. You're getting my buddies, you know, your
second. Yeah,
whatever.
Seconds, yeah.
Whatever. You know, that's certain stuff that within the confines of the game, you can let go. Right. And I'm not going to sit there and I would talk trash to people. You know, for me, it wasn't about like talking trash to like the best player on the team sort of thing, because in those instances, those guys are very good players. I was not on their level, sort of thing. I would talk trash to the guys that I knew would talk trash back. You know, I'm not gonna go at somebody who's not gonna, you know, either defend themselves, one, because that's how it works with people that talk trash. One of three things is gonna happen. They're either gonna talk trash back, and you're gonna have really good banter, and it's gonna be fun to play. Number two, they're going to completely ignore you. They're not going to say a word. They're going to remain just absolutely stoic.
I'd probably fall in that category.
Yeah, if they're going to remain stoic on you.
Until after the game, then I'm going to talk as much, you know what, as I can.
Right. If they're going to remain stoic on you, then that means one of two things. Either one, they just really don't care, or number two, you're going to get 30 dropped on your dome. That's how it works, right? When those guys, when you're talking trash to somebody and that dude just looks you in the eye and then just looks away from you, you like, oh no, I may have made a mistake here.
Yeah.
Or number three, you're going to take that guy completely out of the game and he's going to want to fight you in the parking lot. So most of the time I would find guys, you know, and that's part of being in like a small community like I was in Lawson where I grew up. You know, you always played the same schools. You know, you always played the small schools within your, right? Growing up in Lawson, which is about 35 minutes from Kansas City, we didn't play the Park Hills or the Raytowns, the Lee Summits, the Blue Springs. We didn't play big schools like that.
Yeah.
We played other small schools within our conference or within like a 100-mile radius of us. You know, like Maryville, where I went to college at Northwest Missouri State, Maryville High School, which anybody who follows high school football should be fairly well aware of who Maryville High School is. They have a dominant Class 3, Class 4 high school football program.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the biggest school we played consistently. You know what I mean? So it was always small schools, and we always played these same schools from the time we were little kids in youth tackle football or CRBC, which was like our youth basketball league, all the way up to when we were seniors in high school. So we played against the same kids for a decade, you know? So you knew who these kids were. You were friends with these kids. And that was the thing you learned, was that like the guys that you would talk trash with, the guys that you were chippy with that would chip back, those guys you sort of became friends with. And, you know, one guy that I always used to chirp at, we ended up going to college together, and we became friends through that.
Nice.
But I will say, one of my best friends on earth, Mason Hayward, played against him in high school. I ran track against him in high school, and I would chip, right? I would talk, and I would talk trash. I would chirp. That's how I was, you know, because I knew I wasn't, like, physically able to dominate a game.
Yeah.
You know, I was a good basketball player, and most of this is predicated on the game of basketball. I didn't talk a lot of trash in football because I didn't care that much.
Right.
You know, I wasn't a big football guy. But basketball, I would love to chirp. When you're in the confines of that, you know, I played corner and wide receiver in high school, so you're able to talk a little bit of trash there too, because you're just one-on-one, right?
You're matched up right next to him.
On an island with that guy. But you don't really get to do it every play. You could go out there at receiver one play, and the guy's press coverage on you, right? You're in a cover one. He's manned up on you playing press. You can chirp a little bit there. But the next play, it may be a cover three, and he's 9 yards deep. You know, so you're having to shout to talk trash to this guy, and the field judge is standing right next to you. So
sure, yeah.
You could get you know, a 15-yarder put on you for that one, and
an immediate seat to the bench.
Yeah, when I was in high school, at my high school. If you got a 15-yard, if you got a penalty, a personal foul, a 15-yard penalty, you sat the rest of the game.
Oh, wow.
You were suspended for the rest of the game. That was it. Whether that was, you know, an unsportsmanlike conduct for talking trash or illegal hit at a bounds,
personal,
whatever.
Just any kind of personal foul, yeah.
Unless it was like a face mask, you know, an incidental thing. But if it was,
you're trying to go for a tackle.
Yeah. If it was something of the 15-yard variety that wasn't like a pass interference or a face mask penalty, you were done. That was it for you.
Right.
So, but like basketball, when you're one-on-one, you know, you're guarding a guy at the top of the key in man-to-man, you're right up on him. You can get away with some of the stuff, you know, the chirping back and forth. But Mason was one of those guys that I would talk trash to, and Mason was one of those dudes, like, he'd just look right at you and not say a word. And you were like, oh, this dude can hoop. And he could. It just one of those things. But it was always fun to do that. But sort of keep it within the confines, you know, and that was what was sad about Friday, was to see such a great football game in the way it did. You know, I understand you just won the game, Levin, and go out there and you rush the field and go celebrate. But you're not even celebrating at that point. You're taunting. You're trying to be malicious towards the other team, which, you know, that might light a fire under Glendale. A little bit.
And you said, they're probably going to face each other one more time.
Right. I don't imagine that their seasons are done against one another. I think Class 5, District 5, I would put money on that Glendale-Lebanon matchup as the district championship game. And then, you know, Saturday, I was here. I was at work. Worked a 3-11 shift. Ran Springfield Cardinals. Or not Springfield Cardinals. Excuse me. Missouri State. I ran the football game. Great game. Missouri State, it was a back and forth barn burner once again. Missouri State clinches it with a pick in the end zone. You know, it was a great game. Missouri State and Coach Petrino, they got this team working, man. This is a good football team. So looking forward to the matchup against Southern Illinois on the road. I'll be here at the studio. I'll be back here at the studio again next Saturday or this Saturday running that. I watched my alma mater, Northwest Missouri State, watch them catch a big W over Central Oklahoma, MIAA matchup, which I don't understand why a team from Oklahoma is in the same conference as us. At the Division II level, it's a 9-hour drive. It's sort of a weird dynamic.
Same parameters as the GOVC having teams in Indianapolis, Indiana. Yeah.
But I do get it from the MIAA's perspective because, you know, it's an upper echelon sort of league. It's really top heavy.
Yeah.
You know, you take a look, you've got Northwest, UCM, Central Missouri, Missouri Southern in basketball, at least their football program is
meh,
washed. Washburn, Pitt State. So you've got these teams. Nebraska Kearney is another one. You've got these teams sort of at the top of the league that sort of dominate in every sport. And then you've got the lower tiered teams. And the lower tiered teams in recent memory in the MIAA have decided to just up and leave. For example, Southwest Baptist, Lindenwood, schools like that just got tired of getting beat in the MIAA, and so they left and they went to the GLVC. So you've got to find schools that are willing to stay within the conference, you know, that sort of thing. But I watched my alma mater get a big win. I want to give a huge shout out to my little brother, Coleman, who got to suit up for the first time. He got to dress out, and he was on the sidelines in his helmet, in his shoulder pads, the whole uniform for a college football game. And I was really, you know, disappointed that I couldn't be there to celebrate that with him and congratulate him on that, because football is, I mean, it's a game that him and I both, we started playing it when we were in the first grade, you know, playing flag football. I didn't start playing tackle football until I was a fifth grader. Coleman got started as a third grader, mostly because, as I mentioned before, when we did sports talk last week, he was already bigger than me, you know, and he's still a huge, I mean, just a massive human being. I mean, by the time he was 4 years old, we were sharing the same clothes. And by the time he was 12, we could no longer share the same clothes. He was bigger than me. He had to get bigger clothes than me. So it's one of those things that I wish I could have been there, and you know, that's part of growing up, I suppose, is you sometimes miss out on stuff like that. But football has been, you know, sort of his dream since he was a kid, since he was little. You know, I'll never forget when in 2007, so he was 6 years old, when the New York Giants won the Super Bowl. You know, they beat the Patriots, and my cousin Dave was on the team. And so that Christmas, or that following Christmas maybe, or maybe shortly after the Super Bowl, I can't recall for sure, we got a pair of gloves, like the NFL gloves. You know, Dave had given us each a pair for Christmas, and he had signed them, and he had given us a football. And so this football that we got, we ended up going to a Minnesota Vikings game or something, and we got a bunch of signatures from a bunch of the New York Giants players. I was wearing my youth tackle football jersey, so nice. I still have it. I still have this youth tackle football jersey from when I was a sixth grader that's awesome. Signed by all of these former New York Giants players. I'm trying to think of some of these. Aaron Ross, Antonio Pierce, Brandon Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, guys like that, you know. And there's this picture of Coleman as a six-year-old kid with the gloves on, with his football signed by all these New York Giants players, and he's asleep in his bed, just sort of curling around this football. And that's just, yeah, football was his dream, you know, and he was good at other sports. He was a good basketball player, not as good as me, but a good basketball player.
Had to throw that dig in there.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things. Him and I played
a lot of one-on-one outside, yeah.
600 plus, and he's beat me one time. Once. I'm better. That's just the way it is. And that's, you know, he's 6'3", 250. He's up to about 265 now. But he was about 6'3", 225, 230 when he was in high school. And me at 5'9", 140, 150 pounds.
Oh, I'd see how you'd beat him.
But we both, cheesy. Yeah, but we both played the game of basketball sort of the same way.
Oh, really?
As primary ball handlers, you know, dribble moves, you know, drive-bys. You know, getting penetration and like step backs and threes and things like that. You know, I was an outside shooter. Well, he tried to play the same way. Instead of just deciding at 6'3", 220, being 6 inches taller and 70 pounds heavier at the time, to just try to body me in the post.
I was just thinking, like, yo, post him up. Like,
yeah, and at that point, he tried at a certain, when he got to 16, 17 years old, when I was in college, he would try. Which, unfortunately for him, I got better at basketball after high school, which is frustrating in and of itself. So he would try to like body me down low. Well, I always had this particular move that I would love to pull out. And as a small guy, you learn to use this move. You know, you do one of two things when a guy tries to get you down low when you're in a mismatch, you know, tries to take you in the post. One of two things. You learn how to take a very, very convincing charge. I'm not saying a flop. I'm saying a convincing charge. I'm saying when that man hits you, you know.
Fall. Yeah.
Every time. Not necessarily every time. Like, if it's just like a light tap, you know, sort of like one of those like.
Yeah, like, you can take that.
You take that and you continue to. But when he, the millisecond that you see that man drop that shoulder, you know, below his pecs sort of thing, you know you got to fall. You know he's going to drive that shoulder into you, fall. That's it. Boop. You're going to get the charge every time because you're a smaller guy taking on a big guy.
Don't be telling me you did that on one-on-one.
No,
okay.
I'm not taking charges in one-on-one. So I use my other move.
I feel like I know what this is. Yeah.
When you see that guy drop that shoulder, you either take the charge or you pull out the chair.
Pull the chair.
Pull out the chair. So when he would drop that, when anybody drop that shoulder, just open the door for him. You know, you take that right leg or that left leg, whichever one, and you just turn 90 degrees. And that dude is going to fall flat on his face.
And when you travel.
Yeah. When you're one-on-one, there's no taking. You don't have to take the ball back if they haven't put a shot up. So you just pick that ball up, layup, bang. That's it. Or he would try to outshoot me. Well, that wasn't going to happen either. One of those things. But he was a good basketball player. He was a great baseball player. I would say baseball was what he was best at. He was a great catcher. Decided he didn't really want to play baseball anymore after his sophomore year of high school. Which he made varsity his freshman and sophomore year of high school, and just couldn't do with the sort of the, I guess you could call it, politics of small high schools. You know, you went to a big high school, so I don't know if it's the same, but when you go to small high schools, there's a little bit of a political aspect to it, and not in the general sense of what you think of when it comes to politics, Democrat, Republican. No, the politics when it comes to a small high school is the kids of parents and administrators, or when it comes to senior versus junior sort of thing. You know, when you're in a small high school, it seems always like the kid whose dad is the principal or the superintendent, or their dad's the football or basketball coach, whatever. You know, it really wasn't that way when it came to like the parents of like coaches and teachers. It was when it came to like the administration and things like that sometimes.
Yeah.
So my brother had some difficulty with that, but he really had difficulty when it came to like him as a sophomore or a freshman. He was considerably better than some of the juniors and seniors. And I say that because when he was a freshman, I was a senior. So I knew who those juniors and seniors were. You know, and he wasn't playing in front of them, even though he was probably better than they were, and things like that. And so the politics of high school sports sort of ruined baseball for him a little bit. But he was great at football. He was a great tight end, linebacker, defensive end from the time he was a third grader. So to see him reach his dream of playing college football a couple of years ago when he signed to play at Northwest Missouri State was huge. You know, you sign a letter of intent to play football at the best D2 football program in the country since the turn of the century, since 1999. They've won 6 national championships since 1999. Been to 11, I think, or 10. 10 or 11, one of the two. You know, they've been to 10 or 11 national championships in the last 22 years. Dominance. And several, you know, national semifinals or quarterfinals. They've won regionals like 16 times in the last 22 years or something crazy like that. So to see him sign that letter of intent and go as a walk-on to play football at Northwest was huge. And now, you know, 2 years later, he suits up for his first home football game at Bearcat Stadium. And, you know, I just wish I could have been there for that. But he got a chance. I tried to watch the game. I watched it as closely as I could while I was sort of here at work doing other things, you know, doing work stuff. I'm recording and doing editing stuff and, you know, writing news, things like that. So I was doing my best to sort of keep entwined to the game as much as I could. I didn't see if he played or not, but he got a chance to dress out for the first time, and that was a big deal to watch that. I watched my Iowa Hawkeyes win.
Question mark?
But
on the score, they did.
They won. They won the game. I'm not going to deny that. Though. They went 1-0 on Saturday, but they didn't have, you know, the best showing. 24-14 win over Colorado State. It wasn't impressive. Let's just say that. I tried to place a couple of bets on the Iowa game earlier in the week, but of course DraftKings realizes that the GPS on my phone says I'm in the state of Missouri and sports betting is still illegal in the state of Missouri, so I couldn't do it. But when
that
I
needs
was
to be changed ASAP. Yeah, by but the when way, I was in, stupid.
Yeah, do you like? I saw a thing like it was like the state of Missouri over the last 4 years has lost like $300 or $400 million to the surrounding states in sports betting. Like people from the state of Missouri going to other states to bet on sports.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like seriously, like I kind of joked earlier about on the podcast of going to Downstream or whatever to go, you know, play casino slots, whatever. I could drive down to Oklahoma and bet on a game and then come back to Missouri and get my winnings. Like, come on.
Happens
like,
all the time.
What are we doing here, Missouri?
I have a buddy that lives in Youngstown, Ohio, and he knows guys that will, like, take a ferry or drive, right? Because Youngstown is in the eastern part of the state. They will either want to do one of two things. Youngstown is like 45 minutes from the Pennsylvania border, the Ohio-Pennsylvania border, and it's like 40 minutes south of the U.S.-Canada border. So they will like go to Canada to bet on sports, or they will just drive 45 minutes east to Pennsylvania where they will do their sports betting. And the state of Missouri is losing so much money, so much taxable revenue off of sports betting by not allowing it in this state. It doesn't make much sense to me, but I'm glad a little bit that I wasn't allowed to make those bets because I was going to bet Iowa to cover the spread, which at that point was 22.5, I think. And the over-under, I was hammering the over at 44.5. Because I'm like, if you've got Iowa as a 22.5, 23-point favorite, if they win the game 33-12, they have 34-11, they will have covered the spread and hit the over. I thought that was an easy thing. Right? No, we put up 34 points against Indiana, who's a good football team. Well, didn't happen that way. The offense sputtered. Running game was not up to par. Offensive line struggled. So, but they won the game.
Yeah. That's all that matters. And they're still going to be ranked number 5.
Right. And I was here again on Sunday, working 3-10. I had to watch the last minute and a half of the Chiefs game here at work, which was tough.
Painful.
Tough. First 3 weeks of the season have been painful. You know, we won a game against a great Browns team and then just sputtered the last 2 weeks. But I will say, Justin Herbert is a real deal. Justin Herbert is going to be a very, very good football player in the National Football League, without a doubt. I still think the Chiefs win this division. I do. You know, the Chiefs have lost the last two games because of turnovers. I mean, the Chiefs put up 24 points on Sunday despite turning the ball over 4 times, twice inside their own red zone. I'm not worried. If they can clean up the turnovers, if they can do 3 things, clean up the turnovers, try to get some more pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they are bottom 5 in the NFL right now in sacks. And the third thing is if Juan Thornhill can't do it, then find somebody else to be the starting free safety because Dan Sorensen is not it. The Dirty Dan moniker can
die.
Miss me with that, okay? I'm over it. I'm over the, well, he makes like 1 or 2 big plays within a game. I don't care.
4 or 5 bad plays doesn't justify 1 or 2 good plays in the game.
I mean, just watching the game last night, anytime that the play recognition within Dan Sorensen sometimes doesn't register to me. he plays the game like the sort of the way that Marcus Peters used to play the game at corner, right, when he was in Kansas City. He's a very aggressive player. You know, he's trying to make a play on the ball at all times, you know, sort of thing. He's trying to read the quarterback. He's trying to make a big play. Sometimes that's going to get you a pick. Sometimes it's going to allow a touchdown. But if it's once a game, once or twice a game that, you know, he makes a big tackle for a loss or he gets a sack or a pick or a defended pass, or like 2 years ago when he made he stopped the fake punt,
yeah,
for the Texans in the AFC divisional game. That's great. I haven't seen that through the first 3 weeks this season. And what I saw was him make really bad reads throughout the game that allowed touchdowns. He made a bad read on the goal line, thinking that Herbert was going to throw the ball outside, and he left a guy wide open in the middle of the field on a little dig route, touchdown, when he should have been right there. He put too much pressure on Nick Bolton, and he allowed a touchdown. There was another one where he bit on a wheel route that was supposed to be covered by the corner. Well, him and the corner both ended up guarding this wheel route, and he left the middle of the field wide open for a huge gain. Dan Sorensen is not the answer at free safety. I don't know who is, but it's not him. Okay? It's not him.
May put Josh Gordon out there. He just signed with the Chiefs.
He did. And, you know, that I'm a little bit excited about that. I've been impressed with Mecole Hardman. I think he's shown flashes, you know. I think he can be decent. I'm also over DeMarcus Robinson. Anybody who watches the Kansas City Chiefs with any sort of regularity knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which every time DeMarcus Robinson catches a pass, the first thing he does is run backwards for like 3 or 4 yards. I don't understand it. He had a pass last night that he caught, or yesterday, or not yesterday, today's
Sunday.
Tuesday. Whoops.
Yeah, no, I thought today was Monday as well.
On Sunday, he caught a pass. So it was like 2nd and 11. You know, he caught the pass right on the line to make, right on that yard line, right? Right to the 11 yards that we needed. He caught it right there. He immediately ran 4 yards backwards. Went from an 11-yard gain and a first down to a 7-yard gain. Now it's 3rd and 4. What are you doing? Catch the ball and get upfield. You know, Travis.
Get some rack.
Yeah. Travis Kelce, every time he catches the ball, Travis Kelce does the same thing. And I don't know how NFL teams haven't picked up on this. Every time Travis Kelce catches the ball, he does this.
Yeah, he turns around and then
he
goes.
He catches it, and he immediately spins to one side or the other. It's a very slow spin, too.
Because he's a tight end, yeah.
Yeah, it's not an abundantly quick spin that he's making. But, you know, he's trying to make a play. He's trying to make somebody miss. He's trying to get turned around, but he doesn't run backwards to do it. You know, Tyreek Hill will sometimes catch the ball and run backwards. But it's Tyreek freaking Hill. Okay, he runs a 4.240. He's the fastest dude in the NFL. He can run backwards because when he runs backwards, he's going to get by somebody and he's going to make a play. And he doesn't do it every single time he catches it. DeMarcus Robinson, every time this man catches the ball, he runs backwards. Every time. Without fail. Unless he's running a vertical route. I want to bang my head against the wall sometimes when I watch DeMarcus Robinson, because every time he catches it, and it's not a vertical route or he's already in the end zone, he is running backwards and he's losing yards. It doesn't make sense. But I'm not worried about this Chiefs team overall. You know, the Chiefs, despite four turnovers, you know, and the media jinx is alive and well, because coming into this year, it was widely publicized that Patrick Mahomes had never thrown an interception in the month of September in his entire career. Didn't throw one against the Browns, and then it was even more hyped up coming into the game against the Ravens. Well, he threw a pick against the Ravens, and he threw two on Sunday against the Chargers. So he played like 15 games in the month of September in his career and had never thrown a pick. Well, in the last two, he's got three. So not great, Mr. Media, okay? I don't appreciate that in regards to my Kansas City Chiefs.
As we sit here as media members on a
fair
podcast.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, excuse me. He fumbled again, you know? But it's frustrating because he ran the ball so well. He had 17 carries for 100 yards. But all anybody can talk about is the fumble. You know, Tyreek Hill had a fumble. And Tyreek Hill hasn't... He put up stupid numbers against the Browns and has sort of disappeared.
Yeah, he needs to get back on track.
In the past 2 weeks.
For fantasy purposes wise.
Yeah, Travis Kelce is on the way to a freaking 2,000-yard receiving season, which now makes me feel like an idiot for having traded him in fantasy, which I lost my fantasy matchup so bad.
Say, I went 1-1 this year with my teams this week.
Yeah, I was 2-0 going into this week. I got thumped. I mean, at one point I was down 93 points going into Monday Night Football. So Dak Prescott got me 20. And Miles Sanders got me 8.5, which isn't good. My running backs are terrible. I ended up losing by 69 points.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes. I ended up losing by 69.06 points. 93.92 to 162.98. I got boo-booed on because my starting running backs combined to score 10.7 points. The Ravens just, for some reason, went completely away from Tyson Williams, which was frustrating.
Yeah, because they have Lamar Jackson, their best running back.
Yeah, that's fair. And Miles Sanders only scored me 8.5 points. He only had two carries. He had 2 carries against the Cowboys yesterday. He caught a couple of passes, but the Eagles went completely away from the passing game. Or from the running game, excuse me, because they were getting absolutely
slacked.
Bombarded.
Cowboys won last night, 41-21. Them boys are now 2-1.
Yeah. By the way, Dak should have had 4 touchdowns yesterday. I'm still frustrated by that.
You know, I was watching that earlier on replay because obviously I go to bed at an absurd time. I go to bed at like 7 or 8. So I went to bed right as the game started, and I saw the replay of it. And yeah, I understand it was like a pileup, like right there. There were so many bodies, but with all the bodies where he was at, they were in the end zone. Or it looked like he crossed the plane, yet they didn't call it a touchdown.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. My tight end, Noah Fant, because I traded Travis Kelce, got me 3.5, which I'm having difficulty being upset at Noah Fant because he is an Iowa Hawkeye and because he put up good numbers the first 2 weeks. You know, he put up 12.5 in week one and 13.5 in week two, which is nothing to really complain about in regards to a tight end position. You know, but 3.5, there's something to complain about there. And I need a different kicker because Greg Zuerlein is not it.
Yeah. Us Cowboys fans apologize in that aspect because he did miss an extra point last night, to my knowledge. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did. He hasn't missed a field goal, or he's missed 2 field goals, but those were both in week one against the Bucs.
Yeah, in week one against the Bucs. He's been pretty good since then. Of course, had the game winner against the Chargers.
Yeah, one of them was a 50-plus yarder. But, like, he put up 7 points against the Bucs, 10 against the Chargers, and he put up 4 last night against the Eagles. Mainly because the Eagles' defense was piss poor and just the Cowboys just got into the end zone basically at will last night.
Ran it all over him. Zeke and Pollard had good nights.
Yeah. And the Steelers' offense is so bad that it's now being reflected onto the Steelers' defense because they spent so much time on the field yesterday. The Steelers defense only got me 8.6 points, which is tough because they were playing the Bengals, and my opponent had both Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So the Steelers defense got me 8.6 points, and the team that they were playing against, the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow combined for 39.9 points. So I got outscored by 31 in that game alone. My running backs were outscored like 10-46.
Yeah. My running back was in shambles now because CMC is hurt.
Yeah, that's tough. I was outscored in terms of receivers by like 12, outscored by tight ends by 9, kicker by 10.
Nice.
He had Brandon McManus for the Broncos.
Oh yeah,
who was lights out, made both of his extra points, made one from inside of 29 yards, made one from inside of 39 yards, and made 2 inside of 49. So that was not good for me. And then he had the Bills defense, which outscored my Steelers defense by 6. Which leaves me now kicking myself because I left Sony Michel, DJ Moore, and the Bears defense on my bench. Which I could have started all three of those guys and still lost by 40. But yeah, I'm just hoping for a bounce back in week 4, and I'm currently trying to make some trades. I'm trying to find some running backs, man. I've my receivers are really good. I mean, I've got Brandon Cooks, Calvin Ridley, Terry McLaurin, and DJ Moore. I'm trying to take one of those guys and either the Steelers or the Bears defense to find a running back. But nobody's biting. I thought I had one. I thought I had a trade for Cordarrelle Patterson, who is like primarily a wide receiver, but he's playing running back for the Falcons now too. So he's listed on fantasy as a running back. So he's getting like 8 carries, but he's also having like 7 receptions split out at wide receivers. So he's like the number 4 or 5 running back in fantasy. I thought that in preliminary talks, I thought that we'd made a tentative agreement on this deal. Well, I offered the trade this morning at like 8 a.m. And on my way here, I got the notification that one of my best friends on the planet, shout out you, Smoke, for absolutely deviously licking me for no reason, rejected my offer. I was absolutely taken aback by the audacity of this man. I'm willing to throw in, you know, Spencer, if you want to listen to the podcast today, all right, Smoke, I will throw in an extra running back if you feel like it. You know, I will give you J.D. McKissick or Devontae Parker if you want it. I'll give you another wide receiver if you're feeling frisky, which he's not putting up great numbers because Tua's hurt, but, you know, whatever you need, man, all right? Just, please, I need a running back. You've got too many to begin with. He doesn't have nearly enough receivers, but he's got running backs out the friggin' wazoo. I don't get why he's doing this to me. You know, he's got Cordarrelle Patterson, Joe Mixon, Kareem Hunt, David Johnson, who hasn't done much of anything. His receivers are bad. He's got Zach Pascal. He's got Nelson Aguilar. He's got Michael Thomas, who is...
slant man. Well, and injured.
Yeah, we'll see if he plays ever. And, you know, his other receivers... He's got Amari Cooper and Tyreek Hill at least. You know, he's got those two guys. But we were in tentative talks for a running back. One of those three guys. Cordarrelle Patterson, Joe Mixon, or Kareem Hunt. Well, now, he rejects my offer, and I take a look at his lineup. He's now got Kareem Hunt playing at the flex. This man absolutely hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amucked. Led astray. That's what this man did to me, and I am upset about it.
Running out of time here because we are on a bit of a time limit here. Other news going on the weekend, Cardinal Baseball, they just don't know how to lose anymore. They've now won 16 in a row, sweeping the Cubs. They're back in action tonight. In St. Louis, after having Monday off, Adam Wainwright will go for the Cardinals. Brandon Woodruff for the Milwaukee Brewers as they welcome in the now NL Central champion. And that kind of makes me sad in a sense. But they're hosting them tonight. First pitch set for 6:45.
Yeah, I just want to point out something that I found very, very interesting. I just saw this this morning. However, it was posted yesterday. On September 7th, so just over 3 weeks ago, the St. Louis Cardinals had a 2.8% chance to make the playoffs. Their chances as of today, or yesterday, after the win against the Cubs, 99.9%.
They have to win one more game in the next 6.
And they have to win one of the next 6, or the Reds and Phillies need to lose one of the next 6. And then it's over.
It's crazy. That's baseball, though. And, yeah. I'm glad my guarantee went like most of Chuck's guarantees on NBA TNT, and the Cardinals aren't making the playoffs. Well, all they have to do is win one more game, and they play the Brewers for 3 and the Cubs for 3, all of them at home, by the way.
Yep, and the second that they do, you know...
You know what? You've already alluded to this so many times. I don't need to hear it again.
What time is the game tonight? 6:45?
6:45. And I will be in St. Louis watching that game. So.
I won't be able to do it tonight because I will be filling in for Don Luzader doing news, sports,
so you need some sleep,
weather, and traffic for Wake Up Springfield tomorrow. But if the Cardinals win tonight and they will clinch the wild card spot, I will be sure tomorrow at some point to find... I'll find those clips.
The clip.
I will. The clip? The clips. Plural.
I only made a guarantee once, though.
You made the guarantee once, but you said
multiple times.
At least a dozen times that you didn't think the Cardinals would make the playoffs. So I'll find the guarantee and then maybe two or three others, you know, and I'll splice those together in a new intro. We'll put some new music behind it. We'll play that for a little while.
We do need a new intro, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know,
keep it fresh.
Every two or three months, I mean, you throw a new intro together.
Bruno Mars. Yeah, living.
Well, Bruno Wiz and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
D-O-double-G.
Snoop Dogg. Young, Dumb, and Free. That's kind of defined our podcast today and most of our podcast episodes thus far. But we appreciate all of those that have listened to past podcasts and, of course, this one today, the Tuesday edition, the Tuesday, September 28th. Edition. I can't believe we're already, you know, September's gone by in a blink of an eye. I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like just yesterday we were in Labor Day and now we are here 3 days away now from
spooky
October.
Season.
Spooky season.
I hate spooky season.
Yeah, your least favorite season of the, I guess, seasons. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Rookie Sports Report Podcast. Logan, always appreciate it. And barring any more headaches or otherwise, we'll do it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
For Logan Weber, I'm Matthew Rizzo. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on the Rookie Sports Report Podcast.
Clemson shouldn't be ranked.